sugya of what purpose of suffering is, right? Why is this thing in the world? And we said that this generation has a unique ability to create an enormous amount of kedusha through overcoming the challenges and the struggles of a generation that's never been so immersed in so many struggles and challenges. And I think we're holding on Reish Nun Zayin. Kedusha Zachayim Hinu Maftech LeKabbalas Yisurim Ba'ava. Parim Rabos Mifaz Gedol Shifaseinu Lenatze Lesachayim B'Shleimus Laman Asiyas Kol David Toiv. As a result, as a result of our enormous she'ifas, our yearning to utilize our lives in Shleimus in order to do something that's good, we sometimes forget what life really is all about. Interesting one. Because we have so much yearning and desire to utilize our lives completely that we forget what life's about. It's a bit like a fanatic who redoubles his efforts after he's lost sight of his goals, you know? That's the definition of a fanatic. What does he mean? Avareinu chayim lelo asiya einam chayim. A life where there's no asiya, that's not called life. Lo pam velo pamayim anushayim imanashim shayisurim va'asevel. Very often they hear from people that the suffering and the loads that they have to bear, shishko yisamu mona mehem kol asiya, ki v'matzav zu heim hayu ma'adifim lemus. That the suffering is so bad that they can't do anything with their lives, then it's better they should be dead. This is an enormously awesome, terrible, terrible error. I hope he's going to explain what he's saying, because I don't really understand what he's saying now. If we're honest with ourselves, we sometimes have these doubts about, well, if this is what my life's about, what I need this for? Lama lichaim. Like we see in the Parshas, Rachel says to Yaakov Avinu, if I can't have children, what I need to live for? Yeah. If these twins, if they're fighting, what's going on here? Lama lichaim, what I need to live for? What do I need? I understand what they were talking about. It wasn't the mothers in depression wanting to commit suicide. They have to understand what they mean. But we often have this thought, sometimes life is just so like, what do I need this for? Yeah? What do I need all this play cop for? Not to the point we said earlier, but we also have times machshavas. L'mayis emes hiki ein lanu shum kli lahasug limdoid ma'amun noach v'tomun berega chayim shel yudi. We don't have a barometer or a thermometer or any measuring device to know what value there really is in one moment of a Jew's life. V'akavone yin erega chayim v'noach yaklau. We're talking about a moment of Jewish life where there's nothing being done at all. Kifi shemalamdim atana chazal, kol chayenu haim netir v'zeriya avu oilam shekulu toiv. Chazal teaches that every moment of life is a planting and a sprouting for olam haba. Kif shenema, chay olam nota besocheinu. Chay oilam, the life of the world, olam haba, nota besocheinu, is planted within us. We have within us the seeds that if correctly utilized will sprout into a life for us in Olam Haba. Yesh bo potential. How would you say that in English? We have the potential for eternal life every moment. Every moment we're in this world, we're building Olam Haba. It means every moment of life is valuable. You can't just negate one moment of life. And we've said that about even a vegetable. A Jew is in a coma. The halacha is you can't shorten his life by one moment. Even to save the God of Lador, by the way. Moshe Rabbeinu needs an operation urgently to keep him alive. And there's a 99-year-old Jew in a coma, and if you could take the organ that Moshe Rabbeinu needs to keep him alive, you would shorten the Jew's life by a minute, but you'd save Moshe Rabbeinu's life. It's also the government to do that. Why? Because who knows whose life's more valuable? That's the Gemara. Well, it's a swallow. Goy holds a gun against your head and says, kill the Chofetz Chaim, or we kill you, or vice versa. A goy holds a gun against the Chofetz Chaim's head and says, kill that kid, or we kill you. The Chofetz Chaim takes the bullet. What's the svara? One's the Gemara say, what's the raya? Said, well, it goes through, tries to be psukim, all eventually the Gemara comes out to the simple svara. Who says your life's more valuable than his? You don't know his life's more valuable. What are you talking about? A 99-year-old vegetable in a coma or Moshe Rabbeinu? What do you mean, whose life's more valuable? It's Pashut. So he says, no, you don't know. You don't know. Therefore, Shevat Pais, you're not allowed to do anything. I've never seen one. If you vada know, you're going to shorten that person's life. Sotik against vada, I don't know, could be you're really getting to grey areas, exactly,
no,
or whatever.
No exception is about who's more valuable.
No. What the boy says.
What's the story that the common patient's life is more valuable?
Because we don't understand what life is. We don't understand what a mouth. Because it's not. Oh, very good.
What mitzvah is he going to do
in this? Nothing. Case? Absolutely nothing. So no mitzvah whatsoever.
What's the story that makes him more valuable?
His intrinsic existence. He's, no, it's not a Havamigat. It's a Maskana. His life is more valuable. Or at least equally valuable.
In reality.
No, in reality.
The seed is planted, but if it's not used.
No, he's in a coma. He's never going to get up. He's 99 years old and he ain't ever getting out of this coma. Let's just go back to basics here, because I see there are new guys who didn't learn the sugya earlier, and a lot of old guys who forgot the sugya earlier. And then there's a lot of guys like the Mesidus Shorim says who know the sugya so well that they've forgotten it legamre. That's the worst. That's the Mesidus Shorim. Things that are so well known to us that we lose track of them. Why is it mutter to save a Jew on Shabbos? To mechalel Shabbos to save a Jew's life? So some say because he'll keep more Shabbosim. Says the Mishnah Brura in the Bira Locha, in the Mishnah Brura, that's not why. He says it's very simple. And he brings a raya. Let's say you find a railway station in Los Angeles an abandoned baby. You know? Or in Peking, Beijing, wherever, you find an abandoned baby. What's the status of this baby? Is a Sophic or a Sophic Jew? You don't know. Is he Jewish or not? Maybe. Maybe not. Roy people in Los Angeles are not Jewish. So this child, we go after the Roy, we go after the majority, this child has a din of a goy, not Jewish. Right? Fine. So you take him home, you bring him, you raise him up, whatever, he becomes your Shabbos goy, whatever, and he's a wonderful, this is who he is. And he lives with you, and everything's fantastic, no problems. One Shabbos, yeah, a word goes out that a building collapsed, and this kid that you found and raised and brought up may have been in the building when the building collapsed. So you have a suffix whether he's in there or not. Right? You have a suffix whether he's Jewish or not. And you have a suffix whether he's alive or not. It's a triple suffix, yeah? What's the halacha? Every Jew that ever lived and ever will live has to machal every Shabbos that ever was and ever will be to get him out of there. Why? Because he's a suffix Jew, remember? And in dinner foshes we don't go after the rope. When it comes to life-threatening, life-saving situations, we don't go after the majority. There we're even concerned about the minority. So the 1% chance that says he may be a Jew obligates you to machal every Shabbos. Now, when you've saved his life, what status does he go back to? He goes back to being a goy. He doesn't keep Shabbos. So you're not saving him for the Shabbosim and the mitzvahs he's going to do, because he's not going to do any mitzvahs. So you see, he has an intrinsic value, yeah, just because he exists, without doing anything. The Chofetz Chaim says it, that every person has an intrinsic life, an intrinsic value, even if he's in a coma. How, what, where? You're right, we don't understand, because we don't understand the value of life. We don't know what this neshama connection to his guf is doing. We don't know what it is. But there's two aspects to every person's existence. The mere essence, fact of his existence, the relationship that he was Hashem, with no performance whatsoever, and then there's a thing called performance. But let me ask you a question. If you could only have one, which is more important? The performance without the relationship, or the relationship without the performance? Obviously, the relationship without the performance. You have a married couple, yeah, who love each other and they get on well and they go marshmallow when they see each other or whatever, right? But their lives are a disaster. She doesn't know how to keep her home, the clothes are filthy, he doesn't know how to make a panosa. Their lives are performance level a mess. But they love each other and they're happy to be with each other, yeah? What's better, that or a couple whose lives are ordered and organized and she's a balabosta and he's a business and everything's fine but they hate each other? What's better? What would you rather have? Now obviously, either one's not good. But if you can only have one, you understand the relationship, the essence relationship, always overrides the performance. That's what's being taught here. One second. That's what's being taught here. So what
that valuable, what value that coma vegetable has to Kosh Boko, we don't know. We don't understand the value of life. We can't begin to understand the value of life because we don't understand eternity. But if the Torah tells us that's the way it is, then you better believe it.
Hashem gives us major cross lines, as you said, parallel cross lines, because I can see the truth of this. And on the other hand, Hashem says, I think this is what he says, that oh, that you would reject me and keep my Torah. So you can come back, though. Ultimately, so come back.
So that you come back to the relationship, yeah, that's something else.
But it's
a means to an end. Of course, Boko's right. Not saying reject me and forget about me and keep my Torah and never get back to me. There's a tznai there. Better that my children have forgotten me and just kept my Torah, because the life of my Torah would have brought them back to me. Yeah. Once again, you have to be very, very careful with this. Because if you just get into essence mode and you forget performance, then you become a good Christian. You don't keep any of the Torah, you just love God. There's something lacking there as well. If you love somebody, then you perform. It means, how can you test whether your love is a genuine love? Is how you perform. If you really love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then what's important to Hashem becomes important to you. You start doing what he wants you to do. Obviously, yeah? Can't say you love somebody and just don't do anything. What's the matter? But I love you. Yeah, but I asked you to change the globe and you never did. But I love you. I ain't going to do it. If you really love the person, you'll change the globe. Get it? And that's poshut, right? Obviously, we're searching for shlemus. We're in a world of theory. Yeah? In the real world, you have to have both. There's no such thing as, because this generation needs to get back and needs to strengthen, needs to get back in touch with the essence aspect of a relationship, because we become very performance orientated and the relationship has become atrophied. So therefore we need to go to the other extreme and put enormous curses into the relationship, but God forbid at the expense of performance. At the end of the day, what defines our lives is Shulchan Aruch, not I love you. But the ikamitz in the Torah is V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha. That's our job description, that's our manifesto. Shema Yisrael, V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha. That's who we're about. We're here to love Hashem. Only after you do that, only after there's Kabbalah or Malchus Shemayim, can there be Kabbalah or Mitzvahs. It's a Mefush of Gemara. Why do we say V'ahavtes Shema V'ahavtes before we say V'ahayim Shemayim? So Gemara says, because first you have to Mekabal or Malchus Shemayim, that's Avos Hashem, and then you Mekabal the Mitzvahs. If you don't Mekabal Avos Hashem, whose Mitzvahs are you doing? This generation is exactly the opposite. We're out there doing mitzvahs and performing very well, but we don't know who Hashem is. Can't even talk about Hashem. You walk into any yeshiva today and ask them to teach you to do the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, they won't know what you're talking about. You can ask them any other mitzvahs. Ask them how many esrogim you need to be yotzi, how many pairs of tefillin you need to put on every day to be yotzi all the shetters. Yeah, what is it? 24, I think. 42, 24. Whatever they're going to know, ask them why didn't we have any time tefillin. So he said, why should I? So they said, to be yotzi will be any time. He said, if I had to wear tefillin to be yotzi all the shittas in the Rishonim, I'd need to wear 24 pairs of tefillin or something. Fine, so most people today can tell you all 24 shittas, yeah? Mr. Sofer, how many are there? 24? There's a lot, right? In order to get, to put on tefillin so that you yotzi all the Rishonim out there, you've got to put on a lot of tefillin, yeah? And Avos Hashem, how do you love God? Love God, go invite him. And that's the Ikka Mitzvah, that's the Ikka Avoda. All the mitzvahs are there to bring you to Avos Hashem. That's why Hashem built the world, that's why he created us, so that he could have a relationship with us. Judaism is a covenant, it's not a religion, it's a bris. It's a bris Ava. Ava Rabba Avatar, Hashem says every morning. Ava Rabba. Do you know what Ava Rabba is? By Hashem, whose Ava is infinite, so what's an Ava Rabba? Every morning you say, Ava Rabba of the Torah, with a great love you loved us, Hashem. So there's something about relationships. If we lose that, we've lost everything, with all the performance. But in Achinami, the performance keeps you, and it keeps you in check, and it keeps you in the parameters of a Torah world, where, yeah, you can eventually rebuild the relationships. So you have to grip tightly. Okay. But it's true, that's what he just said. The truth is, we have no vessel. We have no measuring yardstick. We don't know what one little moment of life is worth. We don't. That's why if you shorten a person's life in by 1 second, you're a murderer. You just kill that moment of life. We don't know what one moment of life is. There was, I think, the Rav Naftali Trop. I think Rav Naftali, I can't remember, the Rosh Yeshiva in Radom was very ill. And all the Talmidim got together to donate a certain amount of their life Tzurutoli to save his life. One guy gave 15 minutes, one 10, one half an hour. So they came to the Chofetz Chaim to ask him. We're talking about the Chofetz Chaim's Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim's Yeshiva, yeah? The Granat, we're talking about a Yid whose life was valuable. How much the Chofetz Chaim would give? So he thought and he thought and he schwitzed and he tasted. Eventually he said, 1 minute. 1 minute. So they said to him, that's it? He says, I can see it on this table, 1 minute of life's worth. You give away 10 minutes of life? Yeah. What's 10 minutes? And if I could use 10 minutes a whole year, I knew what I did. Chofetz Chaim was once sitting Erev Yom Kippur crying like a baby. So someone went up to him and said, what are you going to cry about? He says, I can't find 10 minutes. Can't find 10 minutes. Of what? Like the last half an hour? I can't find half an hour in the last half an hour. No, it means in a year. There were 10 minutes, unaccountable. He'd wasted 10 minutes that year and he was beside himself. And somebody understands what the value of human life is. I can't find 10 minutes Yom Kippur to give Hashem that I used properly. He'd lost 10 minutes. How many minutes in a year? Quickly, no. 365 times 60, whatever. A lot of minutes, yeah? He couldn't find 10, he was devastated. That someone understands the value of life. He slit and sweated to donate 1 minute of his life to Rav Naftali. There was a campaign recently for they wanted people to give half an hour of their lives to some Rovia or whatever. Half an hour of your life? Do you know what that is? Do you know what 1 minute of a huge life is? What's 1 minute of eternity? Yeah, we're very out of touch with this. Eh? We have to admit that to yourself. There's no one in this room that really understands the value of life. And it's not hard to understand why, because we've never seen what life produces. We don't know what's waiting on the other side. We don't know what eternity is. So therefore you have to have a bit of imunah, which is why the Sefer, I think, is called imunah and betochel. It's because you actually have to, your Sefer tells you that it makes sense, and then you've got to live with it.
But the stuff on the other side depends on...
what you do, yeah.
Yeah, so John...
That's what I said, performance is critically important. We've done this book, the Sefer goes through two stages. It goes through Avraham Avinu, which is the relationship with Hashem. That's what he discovered. He discovered himself, and in discovering himself, he discovered the ability to have a relationship with Hashem. Noach wasn't able to do that. Noach didn't understand himself well enough to know that the relationship with Hashem was possible. Avraham Avinu was machadish that in the world, that it's shaykh for a little piece of me to have a relationship with the creator of the universe. Noach couldn't understand that. Noach understood that you do what you're told, because Hashem is bigger than you, and you do what you have to do. It was a tzaddik of Sodom. For Avraham Avinu, that didn't gel. That wasn't enough. Avraham Avinu had to do something completely radically new, which was what? In discovering who he was, he discovered his relationship with Hashem. That was the first half of the Sefer. The second half of the Sefer was Yitzchak. Yeah? And knowing what his father had given him, he went about and perfected service. Avoided, that's Yitzchak. Mitzvot. That's the Shema. Kabbalah's Omachu Shemai. That's Avraham Avinu. First, the relationship with Hashem. You better give up your life for Hashem. And then there's the performance aspect. But if you don't have, as Rav Noach used to say, if you don't know what you're prepared to die for, then you've got nothing to live for. You first have to know that you have a relationship with Hashem that you give your life up for. Then you can go about doing all the performance. And of course, if you get to stage one and you don't do the performance, that's not very healthy either. That's a relationship where Abba and Imma love each other, but the house is a disaster zone. And you can't afford that. Every mitzvah, every avodah we do creates havoc. Right? Yo, okay, we'll stop there. We've got to start Chaim Ritzino. That's a big danger today, by the way. An enormous, enormous danger that we have when you start learning the sugya and trying to understand it properly. The Yetzer Hara not to perform kicks in very, very powerfully. Watch it.